Yeah, welcome to the Comedy Film Nerds podcast, episode 7.
Slash rave.
Yeah, we're having a crazy thunder rave. That actually was music courtesy of Van Stone. Tim Bennett and Dave Sheridan gave us that music, Van Stone. I'm sure they are on the Facebooks and the MySpaces. Check them out. Buy their merchandise. It's good, because now we can use their music for free. welcome. We have many new subscribers to this podcast.
Why don't we introduce ourselves?
Did I do that? I'm Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini. And let's welcome our special guest.
Special guest is from Geekscape.net. Ladies and gentlemen, he's done our live show once before. It's the first time having him on our podcast. Mr. Jonathan London, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks a lot for having me, guys. It's fun.
Outstanding.
Now, listen, we've done 155 episodes of Geekscape, but you know what? I'm still fumbling things like forgetting to introduce myself. And so 7 episodes in, don't beat yourself up for that one. Luckily, I edit the show, so I can redo intros and just complete fuck-ups.
We're without a net, and without any technical knowledge.
Yeah,
if you see a Geekscape episode that's like at an hour, a little over an hour, that's one where I didn't fuck up the intro. If you see one where it's obviously like been shaved down, that's where I had to redo the intro a couple times.
Our site is, why don't you tell everybody what Geekscape.net is? What is your site? What do you guys do there?
It's basically a place where you can just, it's one of the many places on the internet where you can talk about movies, video games, and comics with like-minded 18 to 35-year-old men, either oversized or undersized.
Wow, so that's almost like a target advertising demographic.
you would think.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw that one at the competition. There's just so much competition, Chris.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. We do a weekly podcast for movies and video games and comics that's audio, or if you guys want to see our face, we have a very crappy res video one. And then there's two kids in Austin, Liz and Brent, who are doing the Geekscape Movie Club. So if you want to get really detailed conversations about just one movie, they throw a movie out, everyone Netflixes it, and then they discuss it together over like Skype with one of the users. And that's been a lot of fun. We're launching a new site where that kind of back and forth can kind of come to the forefront of the site. I just got frustrated going to places like Ain't It Cool News or any of these big news sites and realizing that I don't really know anybody else on the site. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because like a comic book store or record store, when you go out and buy some of that stuff, you always end up in a 20-minute conversation at the register about the stuff you love.
So are you saying there's no community?
There's just no community. So I wanted to start a site that was mainly community. And the show is... The only reason there's a podcast with me on it is that I'm the only one who would show up every week. And you got to keep that shit going. So the community is the goal of Geekscape.
Chris and I keep waiting for the other guy to not show up.
Yeah. In fact, I did Jonathan's podcast once, and it's very fun. It's down and dirty. In fact, as we were talking, he got in a fight with his fiance.
We got in a squabble.
Yeah.
She's always listening, so she can always throw things in whenever I smartass the guest or smartass Gilmore or somebody listening. She can always be like, "Oh yeah, well, you don't even do your laundry."
Yeah,
she can always throw out those nice facts. She's
the fact checker of the of the episode.
But
I love it.
And how long have you guys been doing this?
Since December of 2006.
Boom.
Nice. Yeah, that's not pathetic.
Yeah.
The idea is to segue it all onto the website and just be like, all right, you guys play. I'll be here pursuing the career I intended when I moved out to Los Angeles.
You and 4 million other
people. Yeah, I'll be here with the rest of those espresso drinking, screenplay writing jerk offs at the coffee shops, talking about how awesome X foreign movie is.
We call them barristers.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, welcome to our show.
I like being on this show.
Sweet. And for all of our new listeners, we have many people been following us, and we appreciate all your comments and everything.
And we wanted to update you on some specific comments that you've been making.
Yes.
Listen, about the negative comments, guys, those people will go away.
No, we haven't. We haven't gotten that many.
Because I got negative comments very early on, and every now and then they pop up every now and then, mm-hmm. but if you just stick with it and just like... Those people will find better things to do.
Actually, we've just gotten, like, technical things, which have been very helpful.
We actually, we've been more like, here's what you're, we like it, here's what you're doing wrong.
Yeah.
That's usually what we get. And
those won't go away. Yeah.
No, we don't expect them to.
Those aren't going
Even
away.
When we fix the stuff, we don't expect them to. So one of the things is that the show is in glorious mono.
It is an enjoy your monorific listening.
Yeah. So there's no more loud on one side, soft on the other.
Yeah. So
that's good.
Yeah, I still sound like I'm in another room.
Yeah,
of course.
Well, we have the cone of silence separating you from the microphone.
We still only have one microphone, so let's baby steps, people.
We're passing it around like an ice cream cone.
Actually, we're
a magazine.
Yeah. So we got anything from episode 6 on is in...
will not blow out one of your ears. Yes.
People are striving to go into 3D. We're actually drawing pictures.
Yeah, I know.
We're going to go the other direction.
Well, anyway, guys, we're going to bring this to you via Pony Express.
Yeah, come on, analog, man. That's where it's at.
Seriously. Guys.
You can't hear the records.
The sound is just so much warmer.
Doesn't the sound on wax, like... I thought the hipsters liked this. I thought the hipsters liked this shit.
Yeah.
We're on record now. Yeah.
That Van Stone was on a LP. Yeah. That's how we were playing that.
And a 78.
Graham, why isn't your comedy CD on a record? Oh, yeah, you don't have a stupid mustache and a dumb newsy hat. All right? You're not wearing a scarf in 70-degree weather. All right? That's why you're...
Oh, I will choke you with that scarf. If I see one more of those scarves... You're in L.A. You'd, a t-shirt and a scarf.
I finally had to just leave Los Feliz Silver Lake and just be like, you know what, fuck this place. I'll come back when it's Escape from L.A. And all these people are food.
Or at least when there's snow, so the snow cap makes sense.
Sorry to derail the show. It will happen again.
Actually, you put it on the rails.
Yes, so that's the rail. We've been on that rail many a time.
That's the rail we kind of want. The next thing is the site improvements are coming. We signed up a new webmaster last night. So the message boards, we say this every show, but now for reals, the message boards are actually going to go away because no one's using them, including us, because we don't know how to.
We're dumb.
And, come on over to Geekscape. We've got a really great...
So within the next 2 weeks, they'll be replaced by actual functional message boards.
Yes.
And we will have them up and coming, and they will be working, and along with a couple other site improvements. You can sign up for the newsletter right now, and in the near future, there'll be some great ads you can take a look at.
Yes. Well. And you know what's still working very well? The store.
Exactly. The store actually is working great, so feel free to give that a whirl.
Yeah, bust out your credit card and or your PayPal accounts and buy away.
So should we get right into
Let's get right into it. In theaters.
Okay, Graham, let's go do it. Shutter Island.
Shutter Island. Okay. I was very leery of this film because it got pushed back, I think, twice.
Oh, I think more than that.
We first saw a trailer for this movie on District 9.
Yes, in May or June of last summer.
It was in July of last summer, maybe early August. We got our first trailer for Shutter Island. We then got a trailer for Shutter Island on every damn movie, including kids' movies, up until the release this past weekend. And that's just a joke.
Yeah, it's. I mean, and honestly, when I... saw the trailer and kept seeing it over and over again, I was like, if you didn't have Scorsese's name on it, I wouldn't even consider this film at all. And the fact that it kept getting pushed back and pushed back, I was like, oh, God. So I went and saw it, right?
Wait, so you're saying if it said directed by Rennie Harlan, you would have been into it?
I mean, before you review the movie, I got to tell you that it may have been brilliant viral marketing, because just seeing the trailer every single time made you feel like you were trapped in the asylum.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this bed, more so than 3D, it makes me feel like I'm trapped in this fucking movie. I now relate to the character more than ever. I am a rat in the maze, and I did disappear through the walls. Right through the walls is this year's You're the Man, Dog, or My Name is Domino Harvey, I'm a Bounty Hunter.
Yeah.
It is going to go down as one of the most annoyingly bullshit trailer lines that you and your friends will immediately start laughing and giggling to whenever anybody mentions it. It will follow that actor forever.
Well, I think Sir Ben Kingsley might be able to escape.
Might be able to shake
maybe,
it off.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think Gandhi.
I'm sure Prince of Persia will do him well this summer. But the fact is, you mentioned Sean Connery, even though he played...
He survived Blood Rain.
Even though Sean Connery was Bond, and people were like, holy shit, that guy was Bond. But kids now, they're like, oh shit, the dragon? He's either the right. He's either
or the Highlander too. Yeah. Where he's like,
you're the man now, dog. It's like, I'm the last dragon. It's like, get the fuck. Hey, Dennis Quaid is. You're writing Dennis Quaid around like with a like a backpack. Like, what the fuck is this movie?
You're trying to say you didn't like Highlander 2? Remember, yeah. Highlander? We come from the planet Zeist. What? What fucking planet? You're Highlanders who are immortals.
Oh, okay, Scientology.
These trailers are damaging.
All right, they are. They are. So let me. So I thought. I had all this negative baggage going in to see Shutter Island. And I want to say this, and I think I've said this on the show before, but I want to say it again. I want every movie to be great. I'm not one of these scarf-wearing shitbirds that's like, oh, this will be dumb. I want it to be great. In a ski cap.
I could have made this film.
I could have made this. I totally could have made it.
I just chose not to because I was party promoting.
Yeah. I was putting Ray flyers on people's cars at a Best Buy.
I chose not to because I was reading a novel.
Yeah.
Reads novels.
So I was like, I wanted this to be well. Who reads novels? Who reads novels?
If it doesn't have four colors in it and people in tights punching monsters, I don't want none of it.
Get a computer.
Stop learning.
Book nerd.
Yeah. With your knowledge. So I was like, okay, this film. And then the first part of the movie, I was like, you know what? Maybe I was so cynical because I've watched so many movies and I'm so jaded by the business. Oh, they released it in the dumping ground. I got pushed back. Maybe this is because it started out kind of interesting. And they're all actors I like. I like Mark Ruffalo. I like Leonardo DiCaprio. I like Gandhi. I like the whole team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The supporting
team. Max von Sydow.
Yeah. Von Sydow is great, and the whole team plays well. But then.
Going somewhere? Yeah, I can't push you over.
Yeah.
You're a menacing. This is Shutter Island for the criminal, insane, and violent. And then you cut to the old frail lady going, shh.
Yeah.
Yeah, she would win in a fight. Who are you putting in this fucking asylum again?
Yeah.
You expect guys who look like fucking MMA fighters.
Yeah, yeah.
With knives for hands.
Yeah. Yeah, and skulls tattooed on their lips. You know what I mean?
Old lady who already fucked up trying to kill herself with a scar across her neck going, shh.
And
attempted murder herself.
Attempted murder herself. Lock her up. Yeah, she couldn't even do her own throat because she was too busy telling people to be quiet.
Yeah, yeah.
She Librarians are not good murderers.
This is starting to derail again, but the movie started winning you back.
It started winning me back the first, like, 20 minutes or so. I was like, okay, maybe this will be a detective thing. Maybe because there are examples of films who, after you watch it, you go, who is the asshole that cut the trailer? Like, they've totally ruined films.
Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
Definitely Maybe. Good movie.
Really?
Really? Yeah,
Definitely Maybe is the shit.
Wow. Talk about derails.
Yeah.
So I started watching it, and then I got to tell you, like, listeners, we're going to get into some spoiler alerts. That's the only way I can. So if you are thinking about seeing this movie, listen to one of our other podcasts that's only coming in one ear.
By what Graham is saying is, listeners, if you haven't divulged the twist of this movie from the incessant fucking trailers for the last six months...
Are you not going to give the whole thing away? You're just going to give little
tidbits. As if the trailers haven't.
Don't give the whole thing away.
I'm going to say, I want to give a serious spoiler alert. I won't give the whole thing away because I know you want to see it with your wife. But
I do, too.
Yeah.
And I've actually heard from people who saw this movie that the movie telegraphs the ending in like the first 5 minutes.
It telegraphs the ending. The ending is so telegraphed. And then there's a scene in there where he's trying to track down this one, the woman that disappeared through the walls.
Through the walls.
Through the walls.
Right. Did she evaporate?
She evaporated right through the walls.
And when he finally meets her, she like busts open the conspiracy. But that's not the real thing that actually happens. The ending is very, you can see it happening. And I was like, I wish the story that the woman in the cave, I wish that would have, then I would, when I got back to the cave, which was in the third act, I was like, shit, if she's right, well then this will be interesting, man. This will be like, I'm back on board with this, because the first part I was like, this is interesting, then it gets dumb. There's so many, it's 2 hours and 20 minutes, and a half hour of that is long, longy, long, long, long dream sequence-y, just like.
Yeah. Like Avatar.
Yeah. And it was
and it happens inside a computer.
And it's like, and I know it's based on a book. I haven't read the book. I'm curious to read it. I know Jonathan doesn't know how to read.
No, no, yeah. the book, yeah, the book will spoil
can
it for
I,
you.
Can I can I ask you a question about the movie? No, I haven't seen it. All right. It's called Shutter Island. Are there shutters on the island?
Yeah, that's the thing. And the title snake, the title lied to me.
I wasn't looking for actual shutters. But I got to say, like, there's, and the ending was just like, oh, come on. I was like, really, 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 that's the ending. Like, come on. You're really not, seriously, you're not going to do, like, it's so telegraphed that I was like, they're telegraphing this so much that it can't possibly be that. Like, Scorsese wouldn't let that happen. No, he did. He did. It's not good. It's a bad.
But there's still those people who are going to like that movie. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, it cleaned up this weekend. It made 60, yeah, yeah. 70 million,
well,
something
like
that.
Like Jonathan said, you've been seeing the trailer for what? Six to 9 months
nine
now?
9 months, yeah.
I mean, as comedy film nerds, though, we keep ourselves to a higher standard.
Yes, you know? We
Well, we have to.
And we challenge our audience to do the same.
Yes.
We will ruin movies for you forever by thinking, challenging you to think about them critically. You are voting with your dollars. If you want to keep seeing movies like Shutter Island and those trailers for six months, remember that you're voting with your dollars.
Jonathan's trying to say, don't go see Valentine's Day. is what he's trying to say. Since I already brought it up. Valentine's Day. It made a fortune.
Of course it did.
It's a horrible, horrible movie, and you shouldn't go see it, because you should not be supporting that type of filmmaking that Hollywood is churning.
And don't support that bullshit holiday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how about that's the one day you shouldn't buy your lady flowers. You know what I mean? Like, I'm married. We're all married here. I buy my wife stuff, flowers, I bring her chocolate all the time. I'm not doing it on Valentine's Day because Hallmark told me to. I'm not doing it. And I'm not going to see bullshit.
What about See's Candies?
See's Candies, sure.
Okay.
The sugar-free ones, just because I don't want diabetics to have candy.
And it made a fortune, critically drummed, and you know, no, and even we have a great review of it on the site. And pretty much our house, as we said, it's the crash of romantic comedies, but not as funny. And here's the crazy thing. Because it made so much money, it's not like you can make a sequel, so what are they going to do? Guess what movie they're making? New Year's Eve.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. New Year's Eve. Same writer, just turned in a draft of the script.
So what's New Year's Eve going to be?
I don't know if we can even use that word writer. Maybe we could just say the person typing the new script.
But you guys, none of us here at the table saw the movie, right?
No, we made Laura.
Yes,
House
he
go
did.
See it.
Yeah, you've seen it. You've seen this movie a thousand times.
I think that's a good point. This is the movie we've seen. There's a reason these movies make a ton of money, and there's a reason that New Year's Eve is going to make a ton of money. Gary Marshall is a serviceable director. He does the job. It's fine. He makes people smile. And really, these movies are targeted to a very... It's weird. These movies in horror movies are targeted to a very specific audience that Hollywood will always make money on.
Yes. Yeah.
They're called teenagers. They're afraid to ask their girlfriends to bang them. So, or make a move, so they get to either see a horror movie or shit like Valentine's Day, so that they can excuse a crawl on the right hand over to their side of the soda cup for a little feel up. You know what I mean? I mean, Valentine's Day is the perfect excuse to, I mean, like a scary movie, the girl just jumps in your lap. Valentine's Day, she's just gonna cling. These movies are for people who are too afraid to just cup the damn puss, and they just want to get laid, but they don't know how.
So what you're saying is, when it comes to sex for teenagers, content is irrelevant.
Absolutely!
Yes, yes. Or just, you know, just sign up to Fuckbook. And get yourself have some good times.
I mean, these are excuses for girls to, you know, guys to try and get girls to cling to them, and that's it.
And I gotta say, like, New Year's Eve, like, what is that movie? Just gonna be vomiting and couple fights? I mean, is that, because that's what New Year's Eve ever is.
Well, then I would go see it.
Yeah, I would definitely see that.
If it was, like, Jon Favreau throwing up onto Vince Vaughn as they're fighting over, as they're fighting over, like, Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because,
I mean, I work, as a comedian, you know, you work New Year's Eve a lot. I was just in, like, Tahoe again, working it, and New Year's Eve, my two favorite times are 10 o'clock at night on New Year's Eve and 2 in the morning. 10 o'clock at night, everyone's all dressed up, guys in their shirts, girls in the party dress, woo! Mm-hmm. And then 2 o'clock in the morning, it's like everything collapsed.
Yeah. They're actually dead bodies.
Yeah, it's literally like the flashback sequences in the road.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
It's Night of the Comet.
Yeah, it's like there's fights, there's torn
night
makeup.
Night of the Comet is the shit movie. I made a college movie based on Night of the Comet.
Yeah, that's so. If that's what this New Year's Eve movie is, I'm all for it. If it's just like fuck you, Ron, I didn't know that was your roommate. You know, like if it's that, I'm on board.
Well, the good thing about the New Year's Eve shows now, they used to do it for comedy shows. There used to be like that 11:30 show where you would actually be on stage and count down to the New Year. They were disasters because at about 11:50. everyone would leave the club because they wanted to be on the street to ring in the new year. And people finally, like our New Year's Eve shows, they're done at like 8 or by 10.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a good thing.
Or when they would like hand out they would do a show that would start at 10:30 and it would end right at midnight. You do the countdown and then the club would hand out the buzzers and shit as people were sitting down at 10:30. That was always the genius.
Oh, yeah.
So your whole show is, you ever notice me, like, oh, God.
You know what? I'm not doing comedy anymore. I'm pretty much done. Will see New Year's Eve if it's what you guys just said. it's that fucking, what's the name of the girl who Kanye West interrupted?
Taylor Swift.
If Taylor Swift walks into a room and Tyler Lautner is like fucking a dude, that is what I will watch. I just want to see her face and just be like, you know what, that happened on New Year's Eve. Yeah,
crazy shit goes down.
Here's how crazy Hollywood is. Speaking of Tyler Lautner, guess what his new leading role is?
Well, shirtless snake guy. Or
yes, but stretchy. Stretch Armstrong.
He's playing
nice.
Stretch Armstrong.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
everybody just tried to break. Like that was the point of that. The point of that stupid toy was, can we light it on fire?
Yeah.
Can we pull his arms off? What is his breaking point?
And the gel inside, is it flammable?
Yeah.
Can you eat it?
What does it taste like?
Nobody put those toys into actual narratives like you did the rest of your toys. The entire point of that fucking toy was to have a breaking point, and then be like, oh, I broke it. Next.
Yeah,
you know,
get rid of it.
That was a toy designed to decorate your backyard. After it had totally been made useless. That was the point. They weren't selling a toy. They were selling something to keep your planter company.
And that's the point of Taylor Lautner. What's his breaking point?
Yeah.
We will find our Taylor Lautner breaking point before he does.
So,
what's the next film?
You know what? I got to talk about this movie.
All right.
I saw Percy Jackson and the Olympians, : The Lightning Thief.
Sucks to have kids.
Oh, no. I saw it myself.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let's go through it step by step on this movie, because there's a lot to say.
Yes.
It is directed by Christopher Columbus. Now,
quote-unquote director.
Let me just say that I was watching this movie. Watching a Christopher Columbus movie is like listening to Nickelback. Technically, there's nothing wrong with them. They're just horrible.
Yeah, Nickelback
it's
is
absolutely
really
horrible.
Bad.
You're watching this movie and you're thinking, oh my God, this is kind of an imaginative kids movie. Imagine if it would have been directed by someone with a functional imagination.
Right.
If someone actually had a creative bone in their body directing this movie, there could be something to it. You're watching this movie, and like the first two Harry Potter movies, which did well in spite of Chris Columbus, not because of him.
Yeah.
You're looking at it and you're going, okay, so a studio pretty much hired Chris Columbus to say, shoot me some cliff notes of the book, and don't you dare do anything creative. And Chris Columbus went, okay, that's my thing. That's what I'll do. The thing about Chris Columbus, too, is he's actually funny in interviews. If you see him interviewed, he's kind of funny, make jokes around, of course, none of that actually translates in his work onto the screen.
Right.
He's like the Jay Leno of directing, for the most part. He's just, it's really,
he's
really
serviceable.
It's to
mid-America.
He's right. Mediocre. He's not like Ron Howard, who's fucking aggressively mediocre.
Right.
God, that guy drives me crazy.
I like Ron Howard.
I mean, that guy telegraphs like every emotion.
Well, Ron Howard makes Chris Columbus look like Ingmar Bergman. But anyway, look, this movie was it was terrible. Of course it was a terrible movie. I mean, it's laughable. It's so funny in parts. Like at the beginning, you know, the guy from Rome, who's now in Grey's Anatomy, walks out of the ocean in his Rome outfit because he's like, he's in his armor.
Why not?
And he's Poseidon, and then he's
got an English accent, of course.
Yeah,
because
Italians didn't
have Italian accent, they had English accents.
He sleeps with the the girl from What Are the Wild Things?
Yeah,
mother. What's her name?
Kathleen Keener.
Yeah, Kathleen Keener. Kathleen Keener now plays roles just of mothers of troubled teens who go into fantasy worlds. That's now her thing. She actually does an okay job, and there are some horrible, horrible cameos in this movie. And because, you know, when you're being directed by Chris Columbus...
And those people are called the lucky ones.
Yeah. But when you're being directed by Chris Columbus, all you're getting is really, okay, move over there.
Yeah.
There's obviously...
There's your mark.
Yeah. There's no direction past that. So, Medusa played by Uma Thurman, was actually, she tried to do something with it. She was actually okay.
But tried to do something, you're not talking about just doing poison ivy with snakes instead of vines, right?
She actually tried. She tried to vamp it up a little bit. All right. Put a little effort in.
Uma Thurman's interesting.
Yeah. Remington Steele as a centaur? Okay, I lost it. You look at Pierce Brosnan, he's in all this beard and shaggy hair, and he's giving all the information to Percy, you're a son of the gods, and then at the bottom of him, he's like a half horse, you know, going,
I like that. I like that a whole lot. Why don't they just make a movie about him?
Yeah, I mean, after Mamma Mia, just do whatever you want at this point. You're done. You're done.
I got bond money, bitches.
And Steve Coogan plays Hades. He tries to do a good job again, nothing to work with. And here's another point I'm going to make very quickly, is that we need to start treating our British comedians better in American cinema.
We won the war. We can treat them however we want.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
We won the war. Ricky Gervais,
how many shitty romantic comedies is he in? Steve Merchant was in The Tooth Fairy. Oh. Rowan Atkinson in the Bean movies. Yeah, maybe Stephen Fry will do Beverly Hills Chihuahua 2. Yeah, maybe we can really get going
comedians. But if you go to England, they always think that we talk with a dumb American accent. They talk like elves, but we're the dumb ones.
Oh, so this is our revenge? They're brilliant British comedians in shitty movies?
We will stop making you guys look dumb if you guys stop treating us dumb.
But America's pretty dumb.
Yeah.
How dare you, sir?
They just spent $80 million on Shutter Island and Valentine's Day.
It wasn't this... Come on. But...
Well, that's everything.
Everything in theaters that's even worth mentioning, I think, at this point, we've seen.
It's just brutal, isn't it? Like, February is...
Well, yeah, it's a dumping ground.
In September is just like, oh, well, we couldn't really find a place for it.
Yeah.
So, Percy Jackson and the Olympians, you know if you're going to like that movie or not.
But, Chris, you understand that our first movies are going to come out in late August, September, or late January, February. Like, that's when our movies are going to go. And sometimes you can rise above it. The Weitz brothers, they had American Pie in the first week of August.
Sure,
it came out.
Sure.
Shyamalan. I mean, Sixth Sense rode forever in August. That's how you do it. But man, if you suck in those times, you suck in those times.
You know what? We go to every movie with an open mind, I have to say. Yeah. We do.
Because 300 came out in February of...
It came out in March, and he kept that weekend.
Yeah.
He's always kept that weekend. I mean, Watchmen, that was his weekend. That was his weekend from Dawn of the Dead. That is his weekend. And you see people get their weekends.
Yeah.
Will Smith has the July 4th weekend. Yeah. Marvel has the first weekend of May for their comic book movie.
They own them, yeah.
Universal puts out a comedy every April. Last one it was that pregnant baby movie.
Yeah.
With the funny girls from SNL. That movie was hilarious. And then... And now they're holding on to the last weekend of April so they can get a jump start on summer. It worked for them last year.
Well, now imagine
Fast and Furious 4.
Imagine if someone could do that in February, because it's a wide open slate.
You can if you direct a basketball movie or a football movie.
Yeah,
I mean,
Hoosiers came out.
No, 300. When did 300 come out?
Hoosiers 300 came out in the second week of March, and the sports movies always get released in early February. And here you are with things like Glory Road. Remember that movie about UTEP basketball that had Josh Lucas in it?
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's seen Josh Lucas since, but we saw him in February, Glory Road.
Yeah, and we saw him at the Starbucks about a week ago.
I like Josh Lucas.
I like him, too. I like that film. And I think the sports movie thing is true. They release a lot of sports movies there. But I agree with what Chris is saying, which is, marking on earlier, if somebody came out with a really solid film, it doesn't have to be sports related.
Oh, you would ride.
You would clean up. Yep. You could clean up. You could release at the end of January, and you'd be the top box office hit through February and into March.
Well, Avatar was. You know what I mean? Avatar was. Sixth Sense was. Titanic made so much of that money.
But they won't release them.
I know, but. Those guys only made it to big records in May. Like, Titanic was still in the top 10 until Gladiator came out in May. There would be no place for it unless that place wasn't a dumping ground. And, I mean, Daybreakers wasn't going to do it. The Mel Gibson movie wasn't going to do it. I mean, none of these movies were going to do it. Avatar just rides until, hey, let's replace the movie that teenagers are going to go see with the blue people having sex. With the ones that, you know, with the Valentine's Day movie. That's what, you know what knocked it off? Dear John. Dear John knocked off Avatar.
So let's go on to what's coming out on DVD.
The Informant. You saw that, right?
The
Informant's good.
The Matt Damon film.
Yeah, you know, and it's got 100 comedians in it.
And somebody straight up said that the Informant should... Who was it that said the Informant should be nominated for Best Cinematography? And the Informant's not incredibly entertaining. I mean, the movie is interesting, but it's not great. You know what I mean? It's got pacing issues. The performances are all good, but it's, you know, Steven Soderbergh is a good director. What's really interesting for me watching this movie was noticing how he lit these scenes. Like, watch this movie if you guys are film students. This movie is lit in ways that everyone would yell at you for doing.
Right.
the characters are backlit. The characters are not, they're doing everything in shadow, and you're watching these scenes and you're like, you know what, but that's what this movie's about. This movie's about being dim, and he's lighting it this way. And even though it's not successful and it's not completely, you know, an Oscar caliber movie, you can tell the talent's there and that he's trying something, which is better than a lot of the people we've been arguing about so far. So
yeah,
a film teacher once told me after we saw Gangs in New York, yes, it's a mess, but wouldn't you rather see Martin Scorsese's mess? Which I'm guessing may have been the same thing for Shutter Island.
Yeah.
If you're going to watch somebody's mess, watch a mess where somebody's actually trying something.
No, I agree.
I'd rather see, you know, a good filmmaker fail than a bad filmmaker.
The Informant's not a mess. The Informant's not a mess. The Informant has really good performances. It just has pacing issues, and it's not all that interesting.
No, I think
it's got some good technical stuff that you...
And I bet you the special... I haven't seen the DVD, but I'm sure there's cool special features on there.
What are you going to say? Special effects.
Special effects.
Well, I mean,
Fat Damon.
Fat Damon.
And I really want to reiterate that point. That, like, I agree with that. I don't ever begrudge anybody for taking a big swing as an artist, a big chance. Like, because we all have done it, and we all have done it and failed. Yeah. And we'll
continue to consistently.
And we'll continue to do so. So I do respect that, like you say. But it is the guys. That direct G.I. Joe and what's that idiot who did the Transformers?
Oh, yeah, Stephen Sommers and Michael Bay. I mean, it's just tough because, I mean, these are movies that are designed, you know?
They're calculatingly bad for what they are.
I mean, you harped on Ron Howard, and I understand Ron Howard because he's doing what directors are supposed to do, which is manipulate. They're supposed to say, once upon a time there was. They take your hand. They don't let go of your hand, if they're good, until the credits are rolling. And you feel like you've been on a ride. And there are so many different variables that will make that ride effective. And at any point, a director can fail in those things. But at the end of the day, if you put some thought into it, there's at least some kind of intent climbing to the surface. With something like Transformers, where you're just hitting the audience in the face as hard as you can to get that kind of reaction out of them, you just become numb by the end of it. And you're like, in Transformers 2, you're like, wait a minute. Why are they running in slow motion when they were standing next to two cars?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For 30 minutes, you got them running through the desert when they were standing next to two cars. And it's things like that that they'll be remembered for rather than, we designed a fun roller coaster ride,
right,
which you can give to a director who actually paces the movie well. I mean,
I've never seen
What a fucking
I've never seen a movie where giant robots are fighting, and I was more bored. How could I be bored by giant robots fighting?
There's really no pacing in that movie.
It's just, there's nothing, and it's so it just makes me mad because, like you say, I want to go on this fun roller coaster ride. It's like I waited in line at the amusement park. I got in the front car and I'm like, let's do it. And then they do nonsense and now we're not going to throw you through loops. Or, like, you know what I mean? It would be so mad. It's like,
it's just like you sit in the car and the car just goes in a circle.
A circle. It's like a teacup ride when I thought I was going to.
Until you throw up.
Yeah.
I mean, but you, and good directors know how to do it. I mean, even if you saw something like what was this movie? Peter Jackson's last movie. You can tell he's just working his
Lovely
ass
Bones.
Off with Lovely Bones, yeah. and it's trying, but the movie's got structure problems. But you're like, you know what? It's got structure problems, and for the one time in my life, I'm going to watch this movie. There are things I can take away from it. And then there are those movies you just can't take anything.
There's no
it takes from you. They're the
robbed from your soul.
Yeah. Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus was like that, where it wasn't a good movie, but you're like, you know what? There's some visually, there's a couple of real amazing sequences. You take a little bit away from it. It's like, okay, that I can take with me.
And he behaved himself in the crazy. Like, he structured his crazy in a way that someone like me who's not a big fan of his movies is just like, you know what? He did a really good job of following a narrative that I could, you know. I mean, he had to deal with Heath Ledger's death. Yeah. Dr. Parnassus is a pretty good movie for watching how you can keep a structure, how a structure can kind of save the zaniness. You know what I mean? Because he establishes rules that he doesn't break, and the movie was, even with its little failures, was fun to watch.
Well, right. Speaking of failures, how about The Box coming out on DVD? Holy shit. What the hell were you...
Why was this movie not called Cameron Diaz's The Box?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of marketing
That's the one time you don't want your name over the title.
Right. Yeah. Honestly, that film... That's one where I feel as though I was a little tricked by the trailer. Because I was like, I like Frank Langella. Oh, crazy box. People are going to die. But it just... The movie suddenly goes... Frank Langella's from outer space. It's crazy. It's the, like these water elevators that people get transported.
I wasn't going to see the movie, and I don't mind the lack of spoiler warning. Fuck this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, we still have to do spoilers.
I mean, I like Donnie Darko.
Donnie Darko's great.
It's a time trip, but I think it's a little bit of John Singleton disease. Like, I think he just had one.
He had one movie. And if you really look at Donnie Darko.
Did you say another? Did he go to USC too?
Nah, might be. I mean, Southland Tales, hello. Southland Tales was unwatchable.
So what's your theory on USC?
With Tim Story, it's... My thing with film schools in general are you've got to look at the film schools not for their history but for the actual people who are going to be teaching you in that class. My worry is that USC has shown people really well how to make very well done big budget movies, but at their core, at the end of the day, you have to make them accessible. You know what I mean? Like in the case of our buddy
Richard Kelly.
Richard Kelly, who I think is really talented, Donnie Darko was just on the verge of slipping out of accessibility. You know what I mean? That movie struggled to find an audience very early on. Came out of Sundance. It really found its home in art houses, but it was a slow crawl. And then once it hit DVD and the college kids got into it, now you started to see the movie gain an audience. That got him to ultimately make Southland Tales, which was like a long process. And all that good karma just kind of got spent. You know what I mean? That was a movie that was a lot of really good ideas not reined in. And that's really the problem, is the structure of this thing that you're making for people. It sounds from what you're saying that The Box has a similar problem.
Oh.
And that can happen with somebody who's extremely cerebral, like Richard Kelly, who's extremely talented visually and with tons of ideas like Richard Kelly. And the narrative just doesn't totally show up in an accessible manner. Then you have somebody like Tim Story, who's like, I'm going to make Barbershop. Sure, I know what I'm making. Then I'm going to make Fantastic Four. And you're like, you know what? Same problem, different. It just has a different cover to it. You know what I mean? It's still a problem with narrative. It's still a problem with. I mean, Fantastic Four. It looked the way it was supposed to look. It was without Jessica Alba. It was roughly cast the way it was supposed to cast. But structurally, that movie didn't make any fucking sense. Why was Dr. Doom on the spaceship?
Yeah,
you're making a movie about the American family versus a terrorist that hates them. We are in a nation that is dealing with an American family dealing with terrorism from another nation in which this person's worshipped as a god, and you can't make that movie for American audiences? That's what the Fantastic Four are. The Fantastic Four are the families that you know dealing with a Bin Laden type who's revered in his country as a savior. You can't just make that Dr. Doom versus the U.S.
That's
family.
That's too complicated. Right? You got to simplify that up.
You can't make. I mean, that movie is glaring you. It's staring you in the face, just waiting to get made, and you can't do it. Everybody's like, "Well, The Incredibles was kind of the movie that we wanted in the Fantastic Four." I'm like, you know what? You still could have made this movie about the American family dealing with acts of terrorism, specifically pointed at them.
Yeah,
and you fucked up the franchise.
Yeah.
That was not Dr. Doom. There is a scene in that movie in which he is sitting in a diner with the Thing. What the fuck? Tell me.
And it wasn't even in Latveria, was it?
He was in New York City.
Yeah.
The Thing was sitting in a diner with Dr. Doom. I'm watching this scene and I'm like, oh, wait, this is from the same people who had Daredevil let a guy die on a train track.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? It's well, like, yeah. These aren't the characters. What no. is happening? And inherently, that's the issue. And so people going in to go to film school, really look at the people who are there. I like my alma mater, Columbia. They pretty much took the entire, you know, NYU had its run in the 80s. Early 90s, they basically took the faculty from NYU and put it at Columbia. So really, look at the faculty, and not only that, look at the people coming out of the school and be like, oh, I'd love to make movies like them. Like Greg Mottola is awesome. I love Greg Mottola because he made a movie called Day Trippers with Parker Posey. That
was years ago.
Years ago.
Yeah.
But then he goes on and does Superbad, mm-hmm. and then he goes on and does Adventureland, and now he's doing this movie, Paul. I mean, he's a product, you know?
Yeah.
Take a look at the people coming out of your film schools, then make a decision. Don't do it just based on their legacy, or you're going
to
end up...
It doesn't have to be in L.A. I mean, I went to Temple University in Philadelphia.
Good film school.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to the illustrious University of Arizona Film School,
yeah.
where I was taking golf classes and making movies.
Nice. I want to say something about Richard Kelly before we move on real quickly. He's actually producing movies, and I'm wondering if his talent is better in producing the movies than actually directing them. Because he produced World's Greatest Dad with
Bobcat
Goldthwait directed, and
Robin
Williams starred, and it was a very good movie.
That movie was the
Dave
shit.
Anthony.
Mm-hmm. And, I love that movie.
And now he's producing Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, based on the best-selling book. So, you know what? If he stays out of the director's chair, I think he could have a very lucrative and successful career.
Yeah. And we don't know what other factors went into contributing to, you know, the box being a bag of shit. Like, maybe Cameron Diaz. You know what I mean? Like, it could have been some studio going, this is Cameron Diaz's, this is her thing now that she's in her 30s. We got to make her.
He gets good performances.
I do want to read the original short story. Richard Matheson wrote the short mm-hmm. story that was based on. And I don't know how close the adaptation is to it. Jonathan?
You know, I don't read. Actually, one of my favorite books is a Richard Matheson book. It's the
I Am Legend.
I Am Legend is the greatest horror movie ever made, and Hollywood can't get that shit right. Hollywood missed its window for I Am Legend. I Am Legend should have been a mid 80s John sure. Carpenter, Kurt
yeah.
Russell
yes.
film.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
end of story. They should have.
Oh, no. When was the Vincent Price version of it?
The Last Man on Earth. It was late 60s.
Late 60s.
Okay. And they should have just made the version. I mean, you guys had John Carpenter and Kurt Russell at the top of their game
right.
together.
That would have done
and
it.
You
yeah.
didn't make I Am Legend in the mid 80s Los Angeles.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Right. How you guys. That is one of the biggest Hollywood we missed.
All right, we got
to move on
here.
To opening this week.
I want to see.
Want to talk about law abiding citizens.
Oh, I found out.
Really?
Yeah,
I
let's mention that real
you know,
quick.
You know, but I like F. Gary Gray. And I like F. Gary Gray for a very good reason.
Citizen.
I like F. Gary Gray because he can do different types of films. He's a guy who starts out with Friday. And he makes a movie like Friday, and when everyone wants him to stay black and stay comedy, he goes and makes an action movie like Set Him Off. And then he goes and makes a movie like The Negotiator, that movie with Samuel
uh-huh.
Jackson.
Uh-huh.
And this guy keeps making movies that are shifting around. Yeah, he has misfires like A Man Apart, you know, the movie with Vin Diesel, which I heard is not that bad of a movie, even though somebody like Chuck Russell, who I like as an accessible director, had to come in and save the rest of shoot the rest of the movie. But, Law Abiding Citizens supposedly has a really good three-quarters of a film.
You know what,
it's
a good setup. I wouldn't even say it's a bad ending. It goes off the rails probably at the end of the
yeah.
first act.
Oh, really?
Because it goes from like kind of like a revenge kind of thing to like almost like a torture porn kind of thing, and then it gets worse and worse from there, and you completely lose empathy.
But there's a guy.
I'm just ecstatic Gerard Butler is not doing a romantic comedy.
Jesus.
What the fuck?
He needs to. Okay, Gerard
Butler. America doesn't like that guy.
You need to stop being in every movie coming out. That's our career advice for you. I mean, this did nothing for you. I mean, and he's not a bad actor.
No, I think he's charismatic, but his face looks like it was swollen by bees.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you think it feels like he's talking through swelling when he's trying to keep his accent in
yeah.
check?
It's
like he's talking through a swollen mouth.
It's
like, spit out the cotton balls and just do something. Like, come on. Can you lead a bunch of legions of Spartans?
He can. This is Sparta.
Oh, God.
And
he's
Jamie
like the
Fox.
Dexys Midnight Runners of actors. Like, one hit. I mean, 300,
yeah.
he's so great in
yeah,
that. And
yeah.
then,
but that movie was sold on effects.
And you know what's
yeah.
also great? He was great, and he was actually great in... The Phantom of the Opera.
I never saw that.
He was actually really good.
We didn't see that movie.
You know what? Not bad. Not bad for a adaptation. Not bad.
We'll take your word for it and
yeah.
never see it again.
But you know, and you look at
Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, Jamie Foxx. I mean, he did.
Who the fuck convinced Jamie Foxx to be serious? Well, I want to find that person. I want to remove them from humanity.
And you know,
Jamie Foxx was hilarious. And then somebody was like, you know what? Be serious. He got the Oscar. And then it was like, you know what? I'm just going to do this for the rest of my life. We miss you, Jamie. Come back to us. We don't want to see you sing We Are the World.
The thing about Robert Redding Citizen, though, is that it had a couple good ideas in it. And it just, it so went off the rails. And you're just watching this kind of thing. And it was just like, okay, well, now I'm going to see more people get killed for pretty much no reason until the end of the movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that, and that's the kind of thing where it was like, you know, started off good and just went off the rails, and don't rent it.
Right.
don't rent it. I'm just saying. Or rent the, just watch the first 20 minutes and turn it off.
All right, well, we're running out of time a little bit, so I want to go into, real quick, I want to see The Crazies. I know it's a remake.
I'll go with you.
The trailer.
It looks good.
I might get, I mean, just like the guy running across the Little League field with a shotgun. What's going on? And then just, and then montage of, murder! The numbers going down of the population.
That movie's a safety, like Daybreakers was. It's a movie that you fear may not be good, but you're going to see it, because even if it's not good, you're going to have an okay time.
It'll be entertaining.
That movie has to do a lot of work to not be entertaining.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Which brings us to Cop Out.
Oh, boy.
Which will have to do very little work to be.
I like Tracy Morgan on 30 Rock, but
you know,
goodness, this
I'll
looks...
I'll tell you, I want to see this movie, and the reason I want to see it is because I want to see what a Kevin Smith paycheck movie looks like. I mean, he directed it. Clearly, this wasn't his idea. I want to see what this movie is going to look like. If it'll have any, if it's going to be Jersey Girl or more Clerks.
Honestly, because Kevin Smith is in there, it might actually have some moments in it that you're like, "Well, that was kind of funny."
How dare you, sir?
You know what I mean?
I really liked Zach and Mary. I really despised Clerks too. I liked Jersey Girl. I thought this is what was sad for me for Clerks too, was seeing a director who had done something like Jersey Girl got panned like shit by people because he just happened to make a movie at the wrong time that I thought was really a move forward for him as a director. I thought Jersey Girl was an advancement in his career, and then he was like, okay, I gotta go back to my safe place. He makes Clerks 2, which I thought was not... he didn't do anything new for me in Clerks 2. And then he makes Zach and Mary. I'm like, okay, he's gonna get back on track. And then he does this film, and I was in the car with one of my writers who's actually seen Cop Out and said Tracy Morgan's just awful in it.
Oh,
I mean, he's doing Bobcat Goldthwait as a bad guy.
Yeah,
it's
oh,
funny.
No.
Like, I mean, when's he not doing? Jason Morgan's made a career of playing an angry, retarded guy. Like, and just yells. Like that's not entertaining to me. But
it also shows you how great the writing on 30 Rock is.
Yeah, I mean, right. 30 Rock's a great show. They can put an angry, retarded guy in there, and everybody loves it. But the thing, I mean, I'm sorry. I've seen Tracy Morgan in public just every time he's either just acting angry or acting angrier. Did you say
in public?
Yeah, and it just made giving me douche chills every time. But Cop Out.
Where are you singing in? Wow.
Where are you going? Like bathhouses or something?
Yeah, like Pan Pacific Park, like on Beverly or at the theaters in New York. Like
at,
you see,
at Bath and Beyond, you've seen?
Yeah. You know, off of Beverly, the Pan Pacific Park where you play basketball. The thing with Kevin Smith, and I was like, man, I wish, I said out loud, I said, I wish Kevin Smith would do movies about people in the niches of society, like comic book artists, writers, or people who man a convenience store. And Bibbiani said something really smart. He said, well, it's like rappers who start out on the streets, and that's all they can write about is the streets, and that's what they know. But then once they get some bit of success, they can maybe only last on that for about four albums, but then all they can write about is money or what they're doing, and it creates this disconnect. And that's really... To me, that's tragic, because I loved Kevin Smith when he was writing about things that weren't every day, but he has started careers for a lot of people.
That is the downfall of any successful anybody, anything, is
right.
A disconnect. A comedian, I mean, you're going on the road working clubs, I'm personally right now connecting with every kind of a person in America. Guys get so big that they're doing sitcoms and they're taking private jets to do huge theaters for a couple hundred grand a show. How you're not...
You can't relate to the common man anymore, slugging through everyday life
the way you are when you're flying coach and you're taking your car to the gig or whatever. Like,
and
so
it breaks down.
And it breaks down. Yeah. Don't say that. I'm driving to Vegas today.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right. We got to. Real quick, Jonathan.
Go through some plugs. Jonathan, why don't you go briefly what's coming up for Geekscape and you at South by Southwest?
We have a brand new site coming up in a couple days, so be checking it out. I'll definitely let you guys know when the new site launches at
Geekscape. And what would the name of it be? Oh.
Geekscape.net. And then if you guys are in South by Southwest, check me out in a movie called The People vs. George Lucas. It's premiering there on Saturday the 13th. And watch Kick-Ass on Friday. Watch The People vs. George Lucas on Saturday. And MacGruber on Monday, I guess. But I'm excited to be in the movie. It's a pretty across-the-board look at George Lucas. It's not anti-George. It's not pro-George. It's just a discussion about George.
And so it's just the title that's against
George. Yeah, and I was happy to be interviewed with my opinions about George. Other than that, Geekscape is basically going to give you all the information. I wanted to let you guys know in quick Oscar talk that I believe Avatar will win Best Picture, but that Catherine Bigelow will take Best Director.
I hope so. I hope that's correct.
And I think
it's
because James Cameron said, I don't need to win Best Director. And he knows that. He said, I don't want to win the Best Director. I want Catherine to win. So that his movie can be remembered as the best movie of the year. It's total bullshit.
Well, she's a better director for The Hurt Locker. He's a good technician.
Good computer director.
All right. Well, speaking of South by Southwest, I will be working at Cap City Comedy Club March 9 through 11. I will be at Hyenas in Dallas March 25th through 27th. And, of course, my new CD, Graham Elwood Comedian's Got a Boo-Boo, is available here on the site. I will autograph it for you. What else, Christopher?
Well, like you said, we got the new stuff coming up on the site, and my book is still available for The New Dad, Pacify Me, a handbook for the freaked out new dad, available everywhere, but signed and personalized from comedyfilmnerds.com.
And bam.
And we've got a lot of good stuff on the site. We're adding new stuff every week, and we've got Jackie Cation's, both her CDs, we've got Doug Benson's CDs, we've got some Palm Strike t-shirts.
Well, we've got Doug's new CD, Unbalanced Load, courtesy of Comedy Central Records, and It's Never Going to Be Bread, which is Jackie Cation's new CD.
Absolutely. And when you buy stuff from the store, you're helping comedians and independent filmmakers. In fact, we have downloads you could buy from filmmakers, and we split the money with the filmmakers, so you're helping everyone. You're supporting independent artists. When you buy stuff.
And get Jackie's CD. That she is fucking hilarious.
She's very funny.
So if you guys are like, oh no, I've never heard of her. You need to have heard of her. You need to get the CD.
Yeah.
It is absolutely hilarious.
She's great. She's full on nerd. She's got her own podcast called Dork Forest. And as Jonathan said at the top of this podcast, vote with your dollars. So if you're sick of movies like we talked about, The Box or G.I. Joe, support independent filmmakers. And also he mentioned a George Lucas movie. We've got the most popular short film, one of the most popular short films ever made, George Lucas in Love, which is available for download on the site.
And real quick, the live show, the next one,
March 16th at the Improv.
And we have Matt Weinhold from the Bob and Tom Comedy Tour will be there, along with a couple great short films like Fish Out of Water and The Apologist, which will be
I
really
love
good.
Fish Out of Water. Is that Ben Barnes' movie?
Yeah, sure
he,
is.
He and I were at the same directing company at the same time. And Ben's a good friend of mine. He edited Singledom for me.
Oh, great.
Which I just got the rights back for.
Nice.
From the very nice people at Fox Television Studios, who may or may not, we're going to work with them. I love those guys. Let's go. You guys need to go.
We're good. I've got to drive to Vegas. Thank you very much. Thank you, Jonathan London, for being on the show from Greekscape.net.
What if it was Greekscape.net?
Greek.
And I was the lightning.
Yeah.
He will be in a toga?
Yeah.
Not very long.
So this is ComedyFilmNerds.com, episode 7. I'm Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini. Thanks for listening.
Remember, Han shot first.